Just delighted to be here with you and celebrate the presence of the Lord. Mary came to the tomb to pray. She saw the stone had been rolled away. She cried, "They've taken my Lord away, and I know not where they've laid him." To her side a stranger came. She knew him not, then he spoke her name. She saw it was he who'd suffered mortal pain, and she cried, "My Lord, it's you." Away she ran, bursting forth with joy, like a fountain in morning sun, with news for 11 broken men who had followed him along the dusty roads. Dare they hope again to see their Lord? His followers hid behind locked doors in fear of the persecution sword. In their midst came the risen Lord, saying, "Blessed peace be with you. See these hands, this wounded side. See your Lord, the crucified." Thomas said, "I will not believe till I feel his scars with my hands." The Lord reached out to his child of doubt, saying, "Thomas, feel now my wounds." "My Lord, my God," the doubter cried to his risen Lord, whose holy sores had bled for him and for us all. He told them, "Go throughout the world with the holy scroll of truth unfurled, in mighty power and parallel, bringing life to dying men. He ascended high over Galilee till their mortal eyes could no longer see. Lingering still were his parting words, for lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me. The darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile, in the dark I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Your blessed balm flows as billows of calm o'er my soul. You light the fire of your spirit that drives out the cold. Renewing rivers flow through my embattled mind, waking the ears of my heart, waking to find. You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me. The darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile, in the dark I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. And rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Sweet song. And rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. As we flow along in word and song this evening, folks, there'll be some prophetic interjections, if you would, of a personal nature. I'll ask your name to further personalize it. Unless I happen to know it because we were introduced earlier. And if I don't remember it, I'll humble myself and say, "I don't remember." We have this treasure in earthen vessels. In our spirit, we are reborn and crafted in royalty. In our soul, we are clay pots, some with fissures and cracks, and some of us have taken a proverbial Humpty Dumpty's fall and had to get put back together from a state of smithereens by Holy Ghost super glue. Been there, done that. I know it well. What a support group. Wow. And anything of a prophetic nature that has that postscript, so says the Lord, has got to be laid alongside the written rod of God, the statement of Scripture, borne witness to by the Spirit as you hear it, and I submit it to pastoral leadership here. It would be for the purpose of edification, that's to build up, that underscores the new you in Christ. I'm not going to be an expert on anybody's flesh factors this evening. Exhortation that stokes the inner fire of desire. And some of us, we may have had our inner fire stomped out and we're reduced to ashes. The Lord in that case just gently breathes and causes embers to form again. Edification, exhortation, comfort. The healing hug of Abba, Daddy Lord. Edification, exhortation, comfort to build up, stir up, and soothe. And think it not strange that a prophetic song can be sung. Prophetic lyric writing on melody, as the sons of Asaph, you see, who prophesied on harps. And even Jesus, according to Hebrews 2, stands in the midst of his church. And God the Son sings praise to God the Father. And causes our hearts to harmonize and blend in with the very chorus of heaven. We sense that this evening. The very song of the Lord, there's a resonance, a depth, a richness. It's not just human voices, and yet it's wonderfully housed and at home in voices who emit their expression from a heart where he's enthroned. So important to come apart and have our minds renewed, that we might be transformed and transmit his majesty to the world around us. Renewal of the mind happens as we recognize we're spirit, soul, and body. And we flex our spirit. That's our royalty of sonship. We flex it in worship and in faith. And we entertain the revelation of the word. And it calls forth our new creaturehood into demonstration. We recall where our true treasure is in our heart. That's the seat of our passions, preferences, depth of desire, comes to where our treasure is, as the Lord would desire the spirit and heart function as one. The heart can be a wanderer if the spirit's not fed. It can get off into the soul and get downright religious with us and condemn us. God's greater than that, thankfully. He's greater than our heart that might be on vacation from its treasure chest and can even meander into our bodily regions and do things there. But as our heart joins our spirit and with its eyes rehearses the treasure, the eyes of our heart are opened with revelation knowledge. Our inner man, our spirit is strengthened, and Jesus is wonderfully at home and enthroned in our hearts. And our hearts, according to King Solomon, were to be watched over with all diligence because out of it flows the issues, the springs of life. And the Lord would desire the Zoe, as the Greek calls it, life of God, the very life that originates with God, that's pure, powerful, creative, healing. And it would flow into our soul, and our mind would be renewed. Our mind. That's how we reason, how we recall, and how we imagine. Mind that's not renewed isn't reasonable. It's all squee-squat and confused. The mind who's not renewed, its memory remembers past offenses, and the next thing you know is barbecuing and it's adrenaline again. And those crummy things that happen seem just as real as if it was yesterday. And the imagination can either be locked up and become stale or become downright X-rated. But as our mind is renewed, our reason moves in accord with spirit and truth. There's a certain rhythm and sanctified sense about it. Our memory rehearses the divine intervention and the blessings of the Lord and things that he did in the past. And even when we remember our foul-ups, he brings to mind the forgiving grace that says, that's history, that's history. And our imagination becomes a rich stage that He can invade with vision. When the eyes of our heart see between the lines of the natural and beyond its parameters, we enjoy the blessed restoration of the Lord. He restores my soul. Scattered roses in the rain, long lost joys from seasons past, you've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul, made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. The wreckage I surveyed was my life after the storm. Scattered rubble in the night, twisted, battered without form. Those I once called friends left my silent soul for dead. There was nothing they could do, only words of sorrow said. But scattered roses in the rain, long lost joys from seasons past, you've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul, made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. Made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. Personal word right here. What is your first name?
Sarah.
A lightning rod for the Spirit who transmits the radiance and reality in bold flashes of King Jesus. Oh, the Lord invaded what had been a time of crushing. And He breathed on the ashes and caused embers to form. And the next thing you know, there was a brightness of coals and a fiery desire to see people reach. Prophetic evangelism is and will often be your portion. As the Lord is delighted that you are ignited with the lightning of the Lord. What is your name right here, my brother? Philip. A fireplace for the Lord that exudes His warmth, draws people in out of the cold, and yet a gifted exhorter. A gentle intensity about you, Philip. You fill up people with the Spirit, and it stirs them to renewal. There's a prophetic flavor about it, and yet a gut-level practicality to see people walk in victory where the rubber meets the road, the sandals touch the sand, or the boots kick the clods. We can pick our analogy there. But God will continue to fan the flame as you exhort in Jesus' name. And the fire within, it's gentle yet bold, and invites people to come in out of the cold, and it melts their religious ice. Hallelujah. If I'm walking a little tottery, several weeks ago I had a slip on some ice in Blackfoot, Idaho, and it was an all points landing on my back. And for about three or four days, I couldn't walk, and then it was with a walker. But the doctor's been amazed with the progress there. Prayer has gone up. And you know, the Lord will invade situations He never caused and use them very creatively. I think it was Bill Johnson who once said that if darkness and light were a poker game, God could beat the devil with a pair of twos. I wouldn't use that analogy just anywhere, but I felt I could here. But it's a marvelous enrichment of my spirit, a restoration of my soul. We've gotten a view of a number of miles down the pike of the freeway that we're yet traveling, and It slowed me down a bit physically, but I'm getting back there, and the projection is for full normalcy, and I'm just amazed at this season of our lives, how creative and providential the Lord has been. So we're praising Him. So the walking is getting back to normal here. I worked out in our room today. Reason, recall, and vision. It was a few years ago, I was just musing, meditating on a memory that was just so pleasant. It was a particular season of years involvement in with a church down in Southern California. In fact, I'm involved with them to this day. My introduction to them was back in 1975, and now they're teenagers or grandparents, so we go back a ways. But they exemplified, like few other places I've seen, becoming a prophetic apostolic community that gave their region, their many square miles of Latino neighborhood, a heart transplant and a facelift. It was the annexation of the kingdoms of this world into the kingdom of our God, like I had never witnessed before. My introduction to them began back in 1975, and I was just remembering the sweetness of the sequence of years and what I'd seen happen. And as I was just even speaking it out loud, expressing it in testimony, the Lord reminded me that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, and He began to invade the stage of my imagination with a prophetic picture that He wants to do that in mega multiplicity in the seasons coming ahead. Though great darkness would cover the earth, the nations will come to your light, according to Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory, the abiding excellence upon the Lord does adorn His people with a statement of radiance even amid the darkness. And there'll be retreat into the darkness with gnashing of teeth and rebellion, but a broadening of the light that begins to invade every aspect of our culture. No matter how difficult things get circumstantially, God can always keep His word to His people. The word of the Lord abides forever. I got a call from a pastor, Ray Gonzalez. It was back in 1975. Donna and I were living in Southern California at that time in Thousand Oaks. We just had our first child. Derek was 2 years old about that time. I wasn't getting many meetings, so I was doing whatever I could and had to keep body and soul together and landscape labor. You know, in addition to getting glory gigs when the calls came in, they were few and far between. But, you know, I was doing it. I got a great tan. I was tough as whip leather, and my hair, before all this gray set in, was blonde. You know, I looked like a surfer. But I got this call from Ray Gonzalez, and Ray said, "Brother Dick, I got your name from a friend we have in common. Would you be willing to come out on a Wednesday night and minister?" And I was saying yes to everything that came my way. I managed to get off work a little early. I'd been hoeing ice plant off of a rich man's home in Beverly Hills because he wanted gazinias there, you know. Hey, it was an honest buck. Donna fixed me a sandwich. I was dashboard dining again and battling Southern California traffic down to Rancho Cucamonga, California. It's a sprawling residential community. It's there kind of to the east of Ontario Upland, and then that which is east of Covina, in and around there. I battled traffic for about 2.5 hours, and when I got there to the scene of this little storefront church, through number of square miles of seemingly poverty-stricken neighborhood, I went in and there were about 6 people there, and in just exchanging greetings with them, I could tell that at least 3 of them, English was not their first language, and I could feel my chin kind of wanting to fall to my chest, but there was such a warmth of hospitality. You know, Latino folks that are spirit-filled, there is this congenial, festive gentleness about them that is so precious that they bring to the table. And I began to pick up on that. They begin to go to prayer for their portion of that sizable expanse of square miles of Latino culture there in Rancho Cucamonga. And they begin to cry out. They begin to declare, not to deny, the situation. Gang warfare, the drug lords, the barrios, violence, spousal abuse, grand theft auto. I mean, it was rampant. Stick-ups, shootouts. But they cried, Lord, you are greater than that. And we invite your sovereignty and sensitivity. You have prayed, asked for this rain in the day of latter rain, Lord. You are ordaining rain, and you're calling us to ask and cry out, and they begin to travail. And I could sense just the radiance of the Lord coming from them, and he went on to say that these are intercessors, and they are also expressors of God's light in their community, and they are also enforcers of Calvary who walk in harmony with spirit and truth, and as they do, crush Satan under their feet. I thought, my, what a picture. What a picture. And the praise, I thought it was just going to swell the seams of that modest little storefront building and split it. It was my turn to minister. You know, I'd had a bits and pieces of a skin of a message I was building up while I was fighting traffic, and the Lord just filled in the blanks, and there was a solidity and a fluidity about it that just amazed me. It was almost like an out-of-body experience, you know, just watching God perform. And I knew I was in the body. The offering was just marvelous, and the trip home was seemingly just downhill all the way. When Ray called me the following year, I said, of course, brother. This time there was a larger building. There was a congregation of about 100. And as I stood up on the platform getting a sound check, Ray would point out people. He says, Dick, you see those three guys over there, the gangsters? They're all cleaned up now, but they still got a semblance of the attire. That's fine with us. But the guy sitting with the sport coat and the nice slacks was a sergeant of police that used to chase those guys all over Rancho Cucamonga. When they got saved, their testimony brought him to the Lord. And he went on to say, myself and my associate, Brother Emmanuel, he says, I'm full-time now, but we both were postal workers and saw just about the entire staff of our post office come to the Lord just through the light of the Lord shining forth. The next year, I was back again, and we were having the sound checked again, and he pointed out, you see the lady over there? Brother Dick, she came to your meeting the last time with a gun in her purse, along with papers of divorce that her husband had served up. He's a prominent lawyer in town. She was going to make one last-ditch stand and hopefully find a shred of hope to cling to, and she was going to destroy herself if it wasn't there. And you spoke a word of hope and begin to just underscore the hope that we have in the Lord. I had barely remembered the word, folks, and as far as knowing of what was transpiring in her heart, I was dumb as a post. But I was saying what the Lord was having me to convey. And he said, and the fellow sitting there with her, he came forward that evening, a very well-heeled lawyer in town. It was the first time he'd been to church in 11 years. The Lord restored their marriage. The stories went on. We were out the following week, and he said, as we were enjoying cookies and punch, he said, you see this neighborhood? You remember how broken down it used to be? You see how it's landscaped? The houses have been restuccoed. He said, Brother Dick, we're getting a heart transplant and a facelift here. And we just marveled at the way the kingdom of God was using a church as its vehicle and vessel, a church that realized it didn't exist for itself, but as a channel, a conduit for the dominion of God's kingdom rule. He called me again a couple of years later, and he said, my brother, you know, in this vast area of a number of square miles of Latino culture, we used to have 9 taverns doing a land office business. He said, 8 of them bellied up, and the very last one had filed bankruptcy. And the proprietor called me and said, Brother Ray, I hear you need a edifice, a building for your Spanish-speaking work. We're willing to sell out to you cheap. Well, I'll tell you what, that is possessing the land. And as I begin to consider and just attest to this and just even muse and speak it out loud as a testimony of Jesus, it was like that rearview mirror was now joined by a lens to the future of the Lord saying, I want to take that and multiply it an epidemic expression. Praise the name of the Lord. started out as just a nice, sweet time of renewal, receiving a fresh influx of His fuel. And the next thing you know, there's a prophetic show that invades our imagination. Another brisk Montana morning, golden glimmer has me blinking. Rising now, I hear me creaking. Down the hall I toil to the place I meet with Jesus. Feed the empty stove and armload. Soon the room is bright with warm glow. Coffee pot is dancing to a boil. Divine appointment, His name is just like ointment. Well, He rubs it into my needy soul. I'm worshiping my God. On my fire the Master's breathing, consuming all my fear and grieving. Bitter fire is rising as He stokes it with His rod. Out my window there I gaze, scan the morning's golden haze. Two deer bolt across the yard, the Lord renews my youth. My spirit leaps and runs with Jesus through the meadows of His kingdom. Brightness of His fragrant freedom, grazing on the greatness of His truth. Divine appointment, you know His name is just like ointment. Rubs it into my needy soul, I'm worshiping my God. On my fire the Master's breathing, consuming all my fear and grieving. Inner fire is rising as He stokes it with His rod. Beside myself with holy joy, I'm dancing like a little boy. High stepping through that room, just gladdened in His peace. Safety in the arms of His grace, kingdom love has filled the place. Laughing in His presence now, laughing yet with sweet tears of release. Divine appointment, His name is just like ointment. Rubs it into my needy soul, I'm worshiping my God. On my fire the Master's breathing, consuming all my fear and grieving. Inner fire is rising as He stokes it with His rod. What is your name right here?
John.
You're very contemplative. You think a lot. In fact, you're a deep thinker. Creative. There's music in your soul, John. The Lord is giving you an ability to believe for big things. You know, there's a certain measure of faith that we all have, that we're a steward of, that we grow in, but there is a gift of faith at times that just pours into you with an ability to believe God for the impossible. You're a dreamer. So was Joseph. Some people might have said, you're spacey, but hey, you're a dreamer. You see with your spirit. You're out of the box. You don't necessarily think like others around you. There's a certain specialness and awareness of God. He's going to have a way of joining music with technology, with ideas for business. It's going to be like Holy Ghost light bulbs going off in your renewed mind. Blessings on you, John. No generation gap in the kingdom, is there? Oh, my. So way back in the cheap seats, my brother with a, looks like a royal blue T-shirt on. What is your name? You say?
Irv.
Irv is Mr. Congeniality in the spirit. Holy Ghost bubble up just comes from this brother. You know, there's living water from all of us, but with you it's kind of Perrier, you know? Skillful hands of a craftsman, and the Lord will use your marvelous congeniality, Irv, as truth tools that will repair broken lives. Those that have just felt the winds of hurricanes of hell that have just ripped through them. Just twisters that have moved toward the regions of their soul. And He'll give you words that are healing. It's kind of a restoration carpentry of the soul through the tools of truth. God's blessings on you. So I was beginning to just consider the blessed memory of Ray Gonzalez and the Rock Outreach. And by the way, I'll see them again coming up on a California tour in June. They have, because they needed a facility, moved up the freeway to Fontana. And they've got the same vision of possessing the land there.
The Lord just invaded the stage of my imagination with a vision. That's when we see with the eyes of the Spirit between the lines of the natural and beyond its borders. And what I saw, folks, was an urban area with all manner of violence going on there. Gang warfare, the spirit of murder was rampant, all manner of twisted perversity that was going on. And there was statements of martial law that was happening. There was also state militia that was colliding with martial law to add to the violence. And it was an urban type of area. And the Lord began to say, this will characterize certain portions of the region. And as I was moving through this maze of violence, there was a causeway of angels that was protecting me. And I noticed there were many others moving in the same direction toward this building that was a little theater over in the distance. And we were protected from just the shafts of darts in the spirit that were flying. And the Lord reminded me of Ezekiel 9:4, those that agonize and travail and groan for their nation will have a mark of heaven on their forehead that will protect them in that day. That's Ezekiel 9:4. We arrived at this little theater, and it was probably about a third full at that point, and we were watching a production that was going to be presented at any time, another half an hour, according to my watch, and you could hear ruckus and commotion going on backstage. And my curiosity got the best of me, so I went over to the stage, and the stage door to the left, and I peered through the door, and there were the actors. They were all immature. Some of them were larger children. Some of them were smaller children. And their costumes, the sleeves were hanging off. They were tripping over the length of the trousers and the skirts and so on. And there, patiently mentoring them, were older folks with the seasoning of years. And they were speaking to them, prompting them, and helping them with their lines. I thought, oh, my. It's countdown towards some collision course, critical mass going on. And that's where the church is at. And the Lord said, I can do an accelerated work in my people. I am using the boomers and those that are older, those that had seen vision 30, 40 years ago, ran around in nervous circles trying to make it happen, couldn't, but have been brought to a certain humble submissiveness as a pliable glove on my hand to where they can begin to minister to the millennials and Generation Xers and so on and begin to see the wealth that's in them. So I prophesied to the crowd, the Lord's doing accelerated work. And it was by naked faith because it looked chaotic, terrible back there. The folks began to just resonate with prophetic confirmation. The place was filling up. In a few minutes, the curtain rose. And there were the actors, fully formed, full grown, those that were actually still smaller children and our larger children. There were teenagers and adults. And the mentors were off on either side like pillars, just smiling with delight as they began to see the drama, the statement begin to unfold as their lines were elocuted with excellence and eloquence. Mentors were just aglow with delight. And when they finished, they came out and side by side, arm in arm, gave a unified bow to a standing ovation. And then mentors, actors poured down with intercessors, and there was an embrace, a marvelous exchange of love. And the multitude poured out into the streets and began to declare the greatness of God. And there was lightning of the word of the Lord all over the place. There were angelic hosts that were driving demonic hordes back into teeth-gnashing darkness. You begin to see repentance where the gangs had been in violence and those twisted by perversity just falling on their face and crying out to God. And God was there as they would be uplifted by any of the congregation and cast that had come out from the little theater. Yet on another channel on that network, I could see over in another city where a huge professional athletic franchise had bellied up. And the whole grid had gone out that night. There was no electric power. And I could see in my spirit believers coming out of their homes with candles, and there was this parade of a pilgrimage that went over to that massive stadium. And as they got there, the Shekinah glory of the Lord fell upon it. They blew out their candles, and people began to stream to that statement of radiance. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, take me and make me what you would have me to be. Cause me to see just who I am in you. Your voice awakens me with the cry of the eagle you've spoken to me. Stirring my sleep, deep calls to deep, and I hear the Son of God now rises in my heart, drying the veil of tears from generations past. Cobwebs of lies that seem like walls now break apart. Before the king's decree, a searing blast. Into sweet morning, blossom wide the once closed petals of my soul, reflecting the gold of your crowning love. I'm risen with you. On the wings of the wind of your spirit I soar. Now you've silenced the roar of accusation within. Brightening earth's corridors with joyous light. Mending the heart of man so cruelly torn. I felt my soul quake with your spirit's might. And to you, the song of love was born. Behold the king upon his throne in brilliant light. He will reign forever. By his right hand he breaks the tempest's might. He will reign forever. Holy, holy is the Lamb who for our sins was slain, the grave could not contain. He reigns forever. Holy, holy is the Lamb, his power invades the land, his warriors take his hand. He reigns forever. Holy, holy is the Lamb, his scepter shall not fail, the King of Kings prevails. He reigns forever. Your name's right here. Yes.
Jim?
Nancy. Nancy, I met you earlier, Jim, and forgive me for my little lapse there. Sometimes when I'm moving in the spirit, I'm unplugged from the natural. I'm not necessarily saying that's good, it's just me. Oh, hallelujah. A patriarchal and maternal spirit in the Lord. Mothers and fathers in the Lord. And we desperately need those. You know, during the charismatic renewal, when I came into the fullness of the Spirit back in the mid-60s, you know, there was just a invasion into the youth culture at that time. Not many mothers and fathers in the Lord. They were few and far between. We were like a bunch of rocks in a bag that were getting shook around and knocking off. Sometimes, not just the rough edges, but chunks off of one another. A lot of us, we still somehow remain friends. And to this day, I see my peers of that time, and we laugh about some things. But at the time, it wasn't funny. There was an element of chaos and a lack of just the fluidity and solidity that come with mothers and fathers in the Lord. There is a host that he's raising up of spiritual parents in these days that are going to receive and embrace the influx of youth, younger people that are going to begin to just see the light and come to the lighthouse that is the Lord and be released as a flow of the stream of the Spirit invading the secular as Ezekiel's temple in Ezekiel 47:1. The Lord using you mightily in this way. Your home will be a place of hospitality. In a special way, it'll be like It'll be like the home of Obed-Edom when the ark was there before it was in the tabernacle of David, and is that. There's just a sense of his welcoming, greeting, healing presence there. So it's been and so it'll be in greater measure. Lord, we speak the blessing over this marvelous hallowed home. Make your glory wondrously known. And cause those that are your own know the embrace of grace and the gentle popping into place of what's out of joint at certain points. And so it'll be as you function patriarchally and maternally in the appointing of the anointing as spiritual parents to many. My brother seated behind Chuck over here, what is your first name?
Dale.
Marvelous healing from just a valley of tragedy, Dale, and just a sense of God's touch and comfort in that place, and coming into just a marvelous season and seasons of new beginnings. A man with the ability to pass on the comfort with which you were comforted by the Spirit. What is your name right here?
Michelle.
Prophetic anointing, Michelle. Blended with mercy in an unusual way. The mercy of the Lord, blending kind of a confluence of streams with prophetic sensitivity. The ability to pictorialize revelation knowledge and to state it with a certain eloquence of expression that at times will move even poetically. The blessings upon you. There's just been this marvelous interaction of the heart of just a... like Jesus at the apex of the triangle, and your closeness to him results in you being a healing voice to one another in a marvelous way. Blessings on you. You know, a lot of times when a prophetic word is placed out there, folks, it becomes community property. There'll be dynamic dittos all over the room, and you'll say, that's for you too. Help yourself to a piece of their prophetic pie, you know. Cut here, and there it is. You know, I've helped myself to several pieces of yours this evening, so I practice what I preach. Oh, glory. I'm going to turn the corner, and if you're wondering how long is this guy going to be going on, not for long. If this was a mile run, we would be into the last lap here, the fourth lap. You know, as I get a revelation, and as you get a revelation, and we get an interpretation of what it means, they'll be more often than not an application of what to do practically in the meanwhile. How are we going to be best prepared and positioned to recognize what's transpiring and to move in the flow, momentum, and force of it? That is moving with the very life of God, the Zoe life of God, as contrasted with Psuche that originates from our solical being. That's self-sourced independence, which the Lord has declared as legally dead. And if we eat of it, we can be on our way to heaven as believers and still be tasting a certain sense of alienation and darkness. The Lord has better things for us. I learned the Christian life is not hard. It's impossible. Only one man ever lived it. And praise God, he renews us in his Zoe life from our spirit through our heart into our soul that even quickens our mortal body. We become channels of it. And yeah, he radiates from our face. People still see our zits and warts. It just lets them know we're human. They can identify with that. But there is an unmistakable specialness about the statement of his life. As he flows out through the channels of our gaze, our touch, our voice, our gestures, there'll be the debris of our own excesses and deficits. That's okay. It's just a statement of our humanness. We're a work in progress. And we're not trying to do some religious persona impersonating perfection. It just causes a beaver dam upstream and nothing goes out except religious stench. To do it in the meanwhile, just three keys on the ring of being renewed to the Zoe life of God is to exalt him. To exalt his personhood above my tendencies towards self-absorption. To exalt his righteousness above my own attempts at righteousness. And to exalt his power above my own self-effort to try to function in ministry or to be my own deliverer. To regularly, often, exalt the Lord. To exalt him is to have him enthroned in our hearts. And as we so do, we're going to be in the receiving end of the influx of his life into our soul. Revelation 22:1, he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from what? The throne of God and from the Lamb, where he is exalted in our inner eye view. We become receivers of him. We can get off into some depression and pity parties and this and that and the other. And, you know, I have to deal with those tendencies. Thank God for the cutting edge of his word that cuts those things off before they become distractions and a drain, and regular renewal does that. And to refocus and say, Lord, I place you in the highest place. I magnify you. I agree with the host of heaven of you are the supreme one, the most marvelous, celebrated person deserving of our worship and praise. And I exalt you above my tendencies toward the entanglement of introspection and self-involvement. And as we do, it's not long before there is that influx of the Zoe life of God and its purity, creativity, and power. Just flushing, rushing, refreshing, cleansing the region of our soul and going out from us. And Lord, I thank you for your righteousness. I recall Romans 5:17 that says, we have been given the abundance of grace. We've been placed in the climate of favor. We are loved, forgiven, righteous, and risen, released from lawlessness and legalism to be led by the Spirit of God. We have the intimacy of oneness with the Lord. We have identity as sons and daughters, honored, seated at his right hand. We have authority of his name to the pulling down of strongholds. And we have a hope and a future and destiny. We have all these things in the climate of grace. But the crown jewel that causes us to connect with that is recognizing the gift of righteousness, the gift of his right being, right thinking, right doing, through Jesus Christ. As the Lord saw our depravity, placed our sin upon him, as he descended into the grave, the avenue was clear. The Lord stamped with his stamp of judgment the blood of the Lamb and imposed it on our bankrupt moral account and said, paid in full. As we begin to camp around that fact and just believe it with everything within us, that revelation becomes rooted, and the revelation becomes an operation of his righteousness that wills to do his good pleasure. And we just give it our cooperation, which is obedience to the Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. The statement of his righteousness, simply believed, we say, God, deliver me from trying to do an impersonation of your righteousness. Thank you for the gift of it. It boggles my mind, blows all the circuits, makes no sense at all to my mind, but begins to be rooted in my heart, and that fact becomes a force. And the very righteousness of God begins to be operational within us, and we move according to his promptings as those meet the requirement of God that are led by the Spirit and respond to him. Exalting the power of God. Lord, I can't do this, but you can. I give myself as a glove on your hand. I recognize that I am the container and you fill it with the contents of yourself. God, deliver me from thinking they can bite into the cup and it's just Styrofoam. But thank you for the richness of the content of your life that pours forth within, shines forth from the lampstand. You can do this. I can't, Father. I can't live the Christian life. You can live it in it and through me, and I can partner with you as the weave of our lives together blend. And I live in the buoyancy, the force and flow of your very life. Thank you. To often exalt his power over our own, his righteousness over our own, his personhood over our own, is to be a receiver of the influx of his Zoe life coming into the regions of our soul and out through the conduits of our gaze, our voice, our actions, debris, warts, zits, notwithstanding. As we do that, folks, we're going to be in the flow and purposeful direction of his life and to begin to connect with what he's doing in way of destiny in orchestrating the end of the age. We're going to be positioned to perceive and get a piece of the action in partnering with him in these days. We're not puppets. We're not marionettes. We're partners who are called to blend in koinonia. That's life in common with the King. Praise the name of the Lord. What a privileged generation we are. You know, my next birthday, I'll be 75. And I'm still, you know, wondering what I'm going to be when I grow up. I daily maintain my amateur status. Hallelujah. That old wonderful M of the church, I need you every moment. And yet every moment he's there. And when we foul up, you know, somebody may be here battling an addiction. Grace begins to invade various areas of our life. We might be functioning in his grace and favor, divine enablement in one area, and be really deprived in the other. And he would say, let me into the compartment of that. Don't run away in shame with that addiction, that compulsive self-medication to somehow appease the raging on the inside with no sense of consequences of how it destroys lives, relationships. He says, bring that to me, and I'll begin to orchestrate a process. I'll cause you to see that I love you in spite of that, that I am your liberator. I'll begin to give you visions of yourself as a free person. Press into me. I may bring a process. I may bring support of others. I may just do it one-on-one. But there will come a time as you move forward that the sword of the Lord will hit the hackles on your heels and you'll leave the bondage of that. And even if time goes by, you fall off the wagon, I'll be there to lift you up again and say, I love you as is with the power to transform you. And I can add, I've been there, done that from my own testimony. Oh, man, what a support group. Hallelujah. With Jesus at the center. There are CDs back there, and there's price information and change in an envelope. They're all music, and it's one that I've done since I've been here with you the last time. Praise the Lord. Being renewed, just that fuel that's his Zoe life, so resident in the reservoir of our spirit, we just begin to celebrate him and exalt him. Our heart returns to where our treasure is and becomes a conduit of springs into our soul, renewing our mind, making us progressively whole. I catch the upward wind that you sent to lift me high. My troubles seem like specks as there upon the ground they lie. I look into your eyes so true as you take my soul and you make it new. The upward wind has lifted me to you. I catch the upward wind that you sent to lift me high. My troubles seem like specks as there upon the ground they lie. I look into your eyes so true. You take my soul, you make it new. The upward wind has lifted me to you. What's your name?
Paul.
Brother Paul, he's a watchman on the wall. He's a watchman who knows how to exhort, encourage, as well as caution. He's not a watchdog that barks at every sound that he sees or hears and flicker of shadows to jump at, but a discerner, an ability to see the difficulty of these days, and yet God's pending revelation of grace. It's where sin does abound, even more grace is to be found. Lover of the freedom of the Spirit, an ability to move in the rhythms of his grace as you hear it. A certain kind of simple depth with which you speak confirms the hearts of those who seek the King. Conversational evangelism often your portion, but at times the expression of prophetic declaration, Paul, as you speak what you see and hear by the revelatory grace of the Spirit, a watchman on the wall. Jesus, draw me to your sides that flowed with blood when you hung and died. Wash away my guilty stains till only your peace remains. I'm the branch and you're the vine. Let your life flow one with mine. Fill this branch with fruit divine. A harvest of your love. Holy, holy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, so worthy, soon to come again. The archangel with trumpet raised waits for the word your Father will say. Your bride with her arms outstretched in praise says, come quickly, oh my love. Come quickly, oh my love. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Yes, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Flesh shall see it together. Yes, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Just make straight the way of the Lord. The mountains will be leveled, the valleys filled. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Kingdom's coming, it's the Master's will. Yes, it's the Master's will. We're going to be on-ramp signs on that highway that the Lord is fashioning, the way of the saved paved in our hearts, filling in our valleys, our areas of victory voids, weakness, leveling those protrusions of stubbornness to where we begin to see with clarity down the road. Traveling on the King's own freeway, singing a new song, freer than any bird, filled and fueled by the power of His Spirit, trucking along the white line of His Word, trucking along the white line of His Word, oh, white line of His Word. God bless to you, that to your hearts. Hallelujah.